You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Alrighty, dope. We just had Phil Basic there, very cool tune, who is playing at an upcoming show with a little help from my friends. We got Wobbling Oblong, Europa Kid, Next New Normal, Unser Kind, Phil Basic, and the entire alphabet all on one gig at the Crown. Mm. That's a stacked lineup. What's what caused you to do this whole big affair?
Well, I guess the person who isn't here created this whole chaotic craziness is Phil Basic. Uh-huh. I got a message from him asking, out of the blue, first time in 15 years. Uh-huh. I used to play with him long, long ago, 15 years ago. First message, and he said, can I do 30 minutes for him? And I said, yes, I've just got back into music, so I will do that. And yeah, he's now organised something at the Crown, something special, and organising some great people to join him.
Yeah, yeah. So Phil was and yourself actually under a different name.
Can yes, I mention that name? Oh, you can mention it.
Sonic Smith is Nick's old stage name, and they would often play at Backstage, which was a venue that was dear to the hearts of many of us older, sort of middle-aged-ish musicians here in Dunedin. That was on Bath Street, and it was a really awesome venue for about 3 or 4 years. And so there would often be these band nights, and then it would sort of transition into sort of more dance music nights. Mm-hmm. And so there was this overlap, and you guys were some of the more notable overlap groups. And so we'd had these sort of multi-genre films, basically, which don't happen so often these days, it seems like. And I've always been I'm a drummer, but I've always been a jungle drum and bass, steppy world music nerd. And so I've always loved their music, and I've caught up with Phil a couple of times over the years. He's a very enigmatic character. One time in Wellington, I saw him for 30 seconds. We had just had time to drink the tequila he placed in front of me, and then he was like, I know what you're up to, man. I'll be in touch. And then I didn't see him again until I was in California, and then he was at the gig, and we hung out for one night, and then I haven't seen him until he messaged you and me to do this show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, looking forward to seeing him. Cool. He makes really cool music.
Yeah, Oh, exciting. And can you tell me a bit about, like, what, not to just delve into the past too much, but, like, what could you tell us a bit about, like, you know, there'll be a lot of students and listeners from different eras who might not know what the different scenes have been like in Otipoti. And, like, there is, obviously, the whole Dunedin sound that a lot of students, like, become aware of and really enjoy. But what can you say about what gig spaces there were, and like what some of the bands were like that were around, or the vibe of the music scene when you were when that sort of stuff was happening, and you're talking about doing these kind of multi-genre gigs and stuff.
You take that, Paul.
Okay. So I guess when I came down here was sort of like around about the year 2000, and it was the tail end of ARC. ARC was cranking, really. Refuel was cranking, but that was actually, it was Fuel around the corner, and then it turned into Refuel here on campus. And there was lots of cool stuff. There was like Bath Street existed, so there was like lots of dance music nights. There was a hip hop night, I think, every Thursday. There was like lots of cool drum bass acts. There was house. There was, but yeah, then I played in lots of bands. There was like a thriving punk scene. There was there was a sort of noisy, sort of darker remnants of the Dunedin sound was still sort of fermenting away. And and then I guess I became part of that thing that was all happening around Backstage, which included bands like the Biff Merchants. There was Hey Man, and the Biff Merchants sort of morphed into gradually like Harley Unclear. And yeah, all sorts of bands. Like I played in the Julian Temple band, I still do. Tono, Anthony Tonin was part of that scene. Yeah, there were heaps of people who have gone on to do awesome stuff around the country and around the world, really. Yeah, it was a pretty fun time.
It was a scene. I feel like, you've outlined it so clearly, but I wasn't sure if it was just because that was when I was playing and when I was active. But it felt like it was so big and, so many things going on.
Yeah, there were like, it was quite a crossroads, I guess, because also because it was on Bath Street. So just like, you know, like three doors up the street, you were like at a rave, basically, four nights a week. And when I first moved here, I think they used to stay open till like seven yes, they in were the morning
real,
or something.
They were the real late ones. Yeah,
it was nuts. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. Yeah, and it was the longest running dance venue in the Southern Hemisphere, I think.
Oh, Southern
I think. Yes, I might be wrong here, but it was something like that, even when I moved here.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
was like 20-something years ago.
Yeah. Funny.
Like, yeah, and obviously that's not here anymore, but we're poorer for that.
Mm. Yeah,
it was pretty awesome
to
have that. As someone who, like, I've got a foot in both camps, I love I love breakbeat, you know, electronic music, and I'm, you know, play drums.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Yeah, so it's great having that.
And Nick, you were saying you used to host at the radio as well, is that right?
Yes, so me and my friend Hazari, who we've still got stickers on the walls here,
and
I was
still
just pointing
hosts.
Them out.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So we had a show called Beats Reality,
yeah,
and that ran for a few years, and that was a breakbeaty, housey type show. It was on Saturday night, and we'd always come here and get prepped for a lot of the time the nights at Backstage.
Yeah.
So, you know, the radio show was a big part of the promo and the getting ready. So that was great. Yeah.
Cool. And so maybe to bring it to this gig that's coming up, which it looks like a crazy mix of different things, what are some of the kind of genres or styles that will be like getting pulled from like back in those days for this? Is that like a thing that are a lot of these artists kind of coming back to creating? Like, I know the entire alphabet, you guys have been playing together for a while and have got some been playing like quite consistently, or I don't know if consistent is the right word, but you know, like, you guys have been doing some cool really onto it gigs and always sounds super super tight, but it sounds like some of these other ones are some of you kind of coming back to music from different times, and like does it feel like a kind of just a cool crux point of putting together a bunch of different stuff, or do you feel like there's a kind of through line of like a vibe from what you grew up doing or what you've been working on since then and stuff like that?
I feel like it's probably my sense, because I'm not sure, I don't know every artist on the bill, but but I feel like it probably is a bit of a coming back together, because I know Phil has reached out to his old friends from his time down here. He hasn't lived in this town for at least 15 years, I don't think.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think he's the common thread, really. It's people he knows or whose music he likes. And he knows that I've been making beat music for years. But I never get around to releasing any of it. And like I keep saying, I love that music, and it, like, I just need to get around to doing it. And him giving me a little tap on the shoulder and saying, hey, come and do a set. It was that's great. I've got a deadline. I work well to deadlines, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what he's done. He's pushed us.
Yeah, and having the entire alphabet on the bill, I think it's like a bit of a curveball, because I think it's mostly, my sense is mostly like producer music.
Yeah, okay.
Probably.
we don't know.
But like, entire alphabet definitely has elements of dance music in my approach to beat making, and it's a little bit noisy, a little bit strange. And then I've listened to some of Phil's tunes recently, his newer ones, and there's like bass guitar in there, and the entire alphabet is bass and drums, and there's actually quite a bit of stuff in his music that is I guess runs in parallel to what we're doing, you know. It's like similar, adjacent.
And because with the entire alphabet, you guys are doing some quite like technical, like complicated timing and time signatures or feel stuff. How does that come, like, how does that affect when you're writing stuff that, like, is often a, you know, a grid, music based off a grid? Do you bring, like, does it feel like a totally different thing you have to approach?
Not really. I mean, I think probably one of our strengths, I think, is that we do odd times, and people tell us stuff like, oh, that's so complicated or whatever, but we do most of our odd time stuff in ways that actually feels really quite intuitive to us. Like, some odd time music you have to count.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
We hardly ever count.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally we do. Yeah. It's funny too, seeing there's that band that's the flavour of the month at the moment, that Engender Portrine or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
that's actually, I feel like that's the band I relate to most with this band. And it's ridiculous the amount of parallels there are. Like, they're a two-piece.
Yeah.
You know, drums and bass. I guess it's a guitar thing that person uses.
Yeah.
But, like, the costumes, we used to wear costumes until just got, like, to the point
where
it was so difficult to play in a costume. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So props to those guys, though.
It could be the whole hive mind thing. You know how these things just emerge?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Synchronicity. The ones. Yeah.
And they do all this triangle stuff with their hands. They're, like, doing hand triangles.
Mm.
I'm doing a hand triangle right now.
Yeah.
I can see
and,
that.
Can you hear the acoustics of the hand triangle? And there's, like, our graphics are there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, cool.
See,
it's just
go.
So anyway, I feel like maybe Our Time in the Sun might be good.
Yeah, this is it.
Anyway, so if you're into that band, come check it out.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Oh, I'll come check it out. I'll be there.
I'll be there too.
And then, yeah, I suppose maybe, Nick, if you could talk about Next New Normal and what you, like, how you go about producing that, what's like the, what's the, maybe a little bit of the technical element, but also just how you go about creatively writing it and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been making music at all for, say, a decade, so, yeah. 10 years, so I'm coming back to it. Technically, I'm using Ableton, mm-hmm. and I started getting back into making beats and tunes on Ableton, mm-hmm. and that felt really good, but there was something missing, and it's something I've always wanted to do, so I decided to start singing on it, cool. which was incredibly scary,
yeah.
because I'm not a singer, I don't sing, I've never sung in front of people before, and recording my vocals, I've always thought it's just horrible, and so I just went and bought a microphone and an interface and just started doing it,
cool.
and it's come out, and it's been great, and it's matched the music, and I feel like what I'm making now feels very genuine, so mm-hmm. it is what it is. So yeah, I'm happy with it, you know?
Cool.
And yeah, it's all come together, and it's only been the last few months, and there's no way I would have played a gig where I'd be singing if it wasn't for Phil organising this and pushing me out long before I'm ready.
So,
this is how it is. It's going to be great. Cool. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, deadlines make music. The industry. Well, the only way to get creativity out of people. Cool. Well, no, that sounds like a super, super exciting show. I'm really keen to hear what it's all like and see the show as well. Is there anything else you think you could like pass on to the listeners or the audience about just even details about whether it's going to that gig or your projects or music in general?
I guess I was just going to say that I think I'm probably going to be playing drums with Phil's set, at mm-hmm. least for some of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be an element of live drums for some of the produced music. And probably for some of my own music, I'll probably play some drums because, you know, I'll be there playing my own beats and also playing my own beats in, mm-hmm. you know, multiple ways. Which is a little bit, you know, not the norm. Shows with beats music.
Like, I love that crossover of when you can bring acoustic and electric music together, you know, like hearing live drums in particular adds that tactile element that's like makes people want to dance.
So, and I think Phil has that feeling that he wants to bring that to this gig too.
Cool.
So I do think there might be a little bit chopping changing between us all.
Yeah, he asked to borrow Bugs' bass, so I'm pretty sure he's going to be playing the bass at some stage.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, really appreciate you guys coming on and having a chat, and very much looking forward to seeing the show.
Thank you.
And, any other last words for the listeners?
No.
Nah.
That's my last word.
See you at the gig. Next Friday night.
Yeah.
The Crown.
Yeah, Friday 24th.
April, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Wobbling Oblong, Europa Kid, Next New Normal, Unsurkind, Phil Basic, and the entire alphabet at the Crown Hotel, 8 p.m., $20. And I believe we've got another track lined up as well. Is that right?
Yeah.
What have we got for us?
This is Afro Cube by the entire alphabet.
Hell yeah. You tuned into Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi, and have a beautiful little evening.
A Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.